Welcome back to 101 FM WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish. I got it, man. Nothing just puts me in a good mood like Dolly Parton does. I think my daughter, Ella Rose, is kind of the living embodiment of Dolly Parton and really admires her. And that, she just puts me in a good mood. Every time I hear Dolly Parton, the song Jolene is just it's bumping too, I'm telling you. Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish is about hunting, fishing, the outdoors, accessibility. One of the things that is very important to me is making the outdoors accessible to everyone who wants to enjoy it in the state of Wisconsin. We really are a hidden gem here. Many people do not realize. They'll say, oh my gosh, why do you live in Wisconsin up there in the cold? Well, number one, we have the four seasons. We're bordered by the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River, and we have the most inland lakes per space, per mile, of any state in the United States. What does that mean? That means we're a flyway. That means we've got great resources for cervid populations, turkey populations, waterfowl stops here. We get sea ducks, we get puddle ducks, you name it, we get it. And there's always something year-round to hunt, including some of the predators that need to be kept under control. And a person who has really made his life about the outdoors and as much about the outdoors as recreation. And that's Kaz, Greg Kazmierski, who owns Buck Rub, who's joined us this hour, who is a wealth of knowledge. He's the current chairman of the Natural Resources Board, which has its input on the legislative process, how hunting and fishing is done, how we are environmentally protective of waterways throughout the state. Kaz, let's start out by talking about resources and resource development. Wisconsin is a state that really takes very seriously our public lands and making sure those public lands continue to proliferate species, don't we?
Well, not enough in my opinion.
There's an opinion Kaz has.
Yeah. We don't, in my opinion, do the habitat work we need to do to sustain a lot of the animals we want to hunt on public land. There's been an effort moving in that direction a little bit, but there's a lot of work to do. And animals need different type of habitats. Deer need early succession. Turkeys need mature woods. And we need to have a good mixture of that on our public lands. Most people that get into enjoying the outdoors and hunting start out on public land. And that's where you get hooked on hunting. So you need to have game there for them to see. Not necessarily kill one, but they at least have to see them when they're on our public lands. And I think we can do a lot better job of managing both the land and the animals on public land. So when the Kroll team came in and analyzed our deer management, that was the very first thing they noticed, was the disparity in the deer populations on public land and private land.
I want to just jump in for just a second, and I want you to continue on this. You were a part of a bill that I authored, which allowed for urban hunting. So part of what you're talking about is that we're seeing conglomerates of cervids, of deer, growing in these very urban areas, and they end up running into cars and causing, you know, in some cases, some rare cases, fatalities, but damage to vehicles. And we put forward a bill that is now law in Wisconsin that you may hunt with a bow anywhere in the state, including urban areas. There are many, many people who still don't know that that's a possibility. But I think what you're talking about there lends itself to the fact that these deer have moved into urban populations and there are fewer of them on some of the national forest areas, for example.
Exactly. And I knew it'd take a while for that bill to catch on. But I am so proud of the city of Delafield and the town of Delafield. They've embraced that urban hunting to manage their deer, and they get tags from the DNR. They've even put up tree stands and things, and you can go to their website and say I want to reserve this stand for this time period. And we just need to see more of that. Because having too many animals in these urban areas gives the impression to those that don't hunt that there's a deer behind every tree out there on the public areas. And that's not the way it is. And we know that for a fact. So by managing those populations in those urban areas, and I was really grateful to see that bill get done.
Do you think some of it, though, on the public land, particularly in the Nicolet and the Shawmagon, is wolf depredation? I do hear that quite a bit. I don't know the science behind it, but do you think wolf depredation is also a part of the problem? Because we're not seeing wolves in subdivisions, really, very, very much.
Well, they add to mortality, okay? Any herd of animals, deer or whatever, the population can only sustain so much mortality. Now, what hunters hope is that there's a harvestable surplus that we can hunt every year. So if the wolf population is eating the harvestable surplus, then there's no deer. So the only way you can do that is manage to have higher numbers on that public land of the prey species, in this case deer, to sustain the wolves and still provide a huntable surplus for hunters.
In, I think the one thing that I want to point out about this is, if you are in an urbanized area or a suburban area and there are deer present, you know, we passed the law, and at the time we had to make some compromises. You are able to hunt with archery equipment from an elevated position. Basically what that means is you have to be shooting up to down. Okay, so an elevated position can be on a chair in a blind as long as you're shooting up to down. That was a compromise, you know, some of the folks on that committee wanted to see. But I'm going to talk about a little difficult area to talk about that I think is something that people tiptoe so lightly around, and that is hunting with archery equipment within a certain area from a school or school grounds. We have very specific hunting regulations as it pertains to firearms around school grounds, which I believe is very good and necessary because bullets can travel miles. I do think that there is a difference. And one of the compromises that came out of that bill was that the limits for firearms were also imposed on archery equipment. So you have to be, you know, 1,000 feet from school property in order to hunt with a bow in the urbanized areas. Is that something that should be looked at? And I kind of find it contradictory because there are actually schools that have archery classes in the schools still today. There are archery classes in the gym. So they're actually literally shooting a bow in the school, but you can't hunt 200 yards away from the school with archery equipment, but they're shooting bows in the school. Is that something we should take a look at and come back and say archery should be allowed in a closer proximity to schools, particularly since we've seen that no archery failure has happened in the hunting community in the history of Wisconsin?
I would definitely like to see some discussion on that again. And archery is in more schools now than it has been for decades because of the Archery in the Schools program. Some of the groups I've been involved with, we've bought bows for schools to get archery back in the schools. And what difference does it make if they're shooting that bow on the school grounds or if you were hunting on the border of the school property? It makes no difference.
A bow's a bow, and it is time to try to control those urban populations. Don't be afraid if you're a new hunter and you've got deer walking through your backyard to ask your neighbors. You got to be 100 yards from an occupied building or have permission of the owner. So if that's something you'd want to get into and sit in your backyard and try to harvest a deer, talk to your neighbors. There's a good chance you'll be able to do it. Greg Kazmierski, Kaz from Buck Rub, our guest today. Thanks so much. This is Raising the Shaw with Joel Clayfish. See you next week.
You could have your choice of men, but I could never love again.